If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. As we go through the book of Genesis, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Have you ever purchased something and you got it, couldn't wait to get it, and you open up the box and you're like, what? It looks so much bigger in the picture, right? I didn't know it was made of plastic. You ever hire somebody to do something and they do the job and you're not satisfied? You ever meet someone and you thought that was the person and that didn't work out? You ever put your trust and hope in something and just to find that you're disappointed? Well, that's not God. That's not our Jesus. You know, we've been walking with these two people, Sarah and Abraham, unique people. God had called him to leave his land. We see he's done that. Many things have happened along the trail. God made a promise to him, and it hasn't been fulfilled yet. How many of us would be frustrated? Well, we know the wife laughed, right? You're going to have a baby. She's in her 90s, right? 80s, 90s. He's way past childbirth years, and God made a promise to them. But it hadn't happened yet. So we're in chapter 21. And we're going to be introduced to Isaac, the second patriarch from Abraham. This is the promised son. We'll see him as a type of Christ in chapters 22 and chapter 24. A type of Christ, a picture of the character of Christ. And so God's word says that if we put our trust in him, we'll never be disappointed. Now, he doesn't work on our timeline. And I think a lot of times that's where we get frustrated. You know, I've been praying about this, Lord, for 3 days, and I don't have it yet, right? But here, it's 25 years have passed. 25 years since the promise of this child to come. And it hasn't happened yet. Well, now we're in the story where it happened. So pick it up with me in chapter 21, the book of Genesis, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God had commanded him. As God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the Lord did for Sarah as he has spoken. And so, at last, in God's perfect timing, we see the promise that was given to Abraham 25 years earlier has come to pass. We see that so often there is a time gap between the promise and the performance of God. Here it's 25 years. Some of us have been waiting a couple years for something. Some of us have been waiting a couple months in our prayer. Some of us a couple days. Some of us a couple hours. God, what's going on? I've been praying since this morning. And yet God doesn't live in a time and space continuum like us. He lives outside of space and time. So he sees things as finished. You've heard me use the illustration of the parade. The parade goes by, we watch one float at a time. He sees the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, and the end. He sees your life completed with him in the heavenly places. He knows the beginning from the end. How do we know that, Pastor? Well, before he ever created you, your life was already written. He already knew you. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? And so when Satan throws back at you, God wants nothing to do with you. Look what you did. He already knew that. And yet he already planned on your salvation. Isn't that great? I think so often we take this for granted. And I think this is why Scripture gives us redundancy in the New Testament. Paul says, I want to remind you, I've told this before, remember when. Jesus says the same thing, remember this, remember that. Because why? Well, we forget. We're so preoccupied with so many other things in our life. We forget that we should be living in the kingdom realm, in our hearts, in the kingdom realm. Well, if you were with us on Sunday going through Matthew, Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. He says to them, let's go to the other side. They get in the boat. He falls asleep. This amazing storm happens. It says that the waves were covering the boat. And these are fishermen. And they go wake Jesus up. Now, why did they have to wake Jesus up? Why didn't the storm wake Jesus up? Because in the kingdom realm, he's living in peace. He wasn't concerned in his kingdom realm about the storm. We living on the earthly realm, we'll worry about the storm. But we can live on the earthly realm and live in the kingdom realm, right? In our hearts, we can have peace with God in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our surroundings, in spite of the storms that we might be going through. God's promises in his kingdom are your promises here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And though you go through the storms, I will get you through them. And we see time and time again the promises of God for us. He told Abraham in the previous chapters what would happen. Now, he wasn't so much the problem, we see. His wife really didn't believe it. She laughed. How could this be? Ha, ha, ha. And yet, God spoke and it happened. So, we see here, we see that so often the time gap between the promises and performance, because our implicit trust in the Lord will be a key ingredient in following us to function in the coming kingdom as well. Our trust in the Lord is going to be key on how we function here on earth, and I believe in the millennial period as well. I believe that God is preparing us here for our millennial period time. We will live in a different, certainly, embodiment, but we will live on earth for 1,000 years with the Lord. Different environment, different setting. But I believe he's preparing us. Are we willing today to submit to authority? Are we willing today to trust in the Lord? Are we willing today to step out in faith and do what God has called us, God has asked us to do? Are we holding fast to the promises of God? And so here, the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, as he said, at his set time. And Abraham called the name of his son Isaac. And so God fulfilled what he had promised, but it didn't happen right away. We live in a microwave society. We need everything right now. Right now. You can look up anything in your mind on the internet and get an answer to it, whether it's a good answer or a bad answer. You can get it immediately. The days of the encyclopedias where you got to go and search and read, those are gone. Long gone, right? Put those people out of business. Dictionaries, nobody has dictionaries anymore. You can look right up on your phone. And so there was a season when we started the church that people were looking down as I'm teaching it. And in my heart, I'm like, what are they doing? I'm talking up here, and they're looking at their phone. And then somebody told me, because there's a Bible app on their phone. They're not on the phone. They're looking at the Bible, right? So we can find everything we want so quick and so fast, but we miss the lessons of waiting upon the Lord and letting him work things out in our lives. Waiting upon the Lord. So God is faithful. 1 Kings 8:56 says, blessed be the Lord. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised. Not one word. God hasn't failed one time. He hasn't made a mistake one time. He hasn't miscalculated one time. There are some prophecy teachers, well, they call themselves that, and some of them are trying to predict times, and they'll tell you, well, we're not predicting dates and times, but they actually are trying to, the date of the rapture, the date of his coming, and all these things like that. And you have to be careful to follow them, because guess what? They've all been wrong. All these date setters from the past were all wrong. When the rapture of the church, they have the date, they're all wrong. It hasn't happened yet. They're all wrong. And so we need to wait upon the Lord. Did you know that you are invincible until the Lord calls you home? And it's when your job here on earth, your assignment, is over. We see the apostles serving the Lord. When their task was finished, God called them home. So it's all in God's perfect timing. Here's a quote. No one ever waits upon the Lord in vain. The soul that takes hold of God's promise by faith has gotten a stable reality which will never fail him. God will not disappoint us. Stay hold fast to the text, to the doctrine, and he will never disappoint us. And he comes at a set time. Isaac's birth came at God's perfect timing. How old was Abraham? 100 years old. How old is Sarah? She's 90. And that's exactly the way God wanted it. Because no one would ever thought that it would have been possible for them. Romans 4:19 says the body was already dead. In other words, nothing's going on, right? And the season demonstrate Isaac's was a product of God's will. God's will. Remember, Abraham already slept with Hagar some years back, 16 years prior to this, to try to help God out, remember? But now he's much older, 16 years now, he's 100 years old. And this is exactly what God wants. It's his product of his will. So Abraham called the name of his son Isaac in obedience to Genesis chapter 17. God had told him this. Isaac is to carry out God's covenant. And God's covenant was to be through Isaac and then to Jesus, right? So there was a covenant here. That's why God's in control. Man can have no part of that. God doesn't leave it up to man. Remember, Joseph could have no part of Jesus' birth. Why? Joseph was a sinful man. That's why Jesus was born of the Spirit of God. And that's why we need to be born of the Spirit of God as well. Here, they already tried to fulfill God's promise by having Ishmael, right? But Ishmael wasn't the promised son that God wanted. Isaac will be. And so God, once again, working out his plan in his timeline, in his way, Abraham circumcised Isaac when the boy is 8 years old. This is obedience, again, in Genesis 17. The eighth day, it's said that vitamin K is at its peak in a male's body, so the blood will coagulate quickly. And that's what they did. It's interesting they knew that back then as well. So God has made me laugh. Sarah laughed in unbelief in Genesis 18. Now in Genesis 21, Sarah laughs at unbelievable joy. Look what God did. And so often we forget that second laugh. We remember our unbelief, right? But let's rejoice in what God has done. Do you realize that you have been saved from the wrath of God that will come on those who do not believe? Do you realize that? We talk about, oh, I'm a Christian. And that's great. And we want to tell people we're a Christian. But let's get a little deeper. What does that mean? It's good news, right? But it's not good news until we know the bad news. Everyone will be judged. Everyone. What do you mean, Pastor? What about the Christian? Oh, the Christian's been judged. That judgment fell on Jesus. The blood was shed. Our sins were shed on Jesus. Those who don't believe, they'll be paying that penalty themselves. So we're not innocent. We're actually guilty. Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate silent. Why? He stood in our place, and we're guilty, right? So we haven't been pardoned. The price was paid. And now he gives us his Spirit, which is a seal and a stamp, a guarantee of our inheritance to be with him forever. And no one can take us out of his hands. Isn't that great? No one can take you out of his hands. And he dwells with you forever. And there'll be a time where in a twinkling of an eye, he will usher us into the presence of our Heavenly Father. What is he doing now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? He's interceding on your behalf. His thoughts for you are as the sand of the seashore. That's just amazing, right? He knows every hair on your head. He knows your needs. He knows your fears. He knows your concerns. And he doesn't leave us. He's with us always, 24/7. And so here we see God fulfilling the promise that he had made. And Sarah says, who would have said, you know, God had me nursing a child. Who would have said that Abraham, that Sarah would nurse children in verse 7? And to paraphrase that, who would have thought it possible, right? Who would have thought that this was something possible? But Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do above what we ask or think. Above and beyond what we could ask or what we can think. And do we trust him? I mean, are we asking God for things? Are we crying out to the Lord? Are we searching the heart of God so that we could grow closer to him? And when we do that, we'll realize he's there. He's with us. You see, God never leaves us. But we may forget about him, right? He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And so often we're so distracted living on this earthly plane instead of the kingdom realm in our hearts, right? You see, the more we're thinking about the Lord and walking with the Lord, we have that communion. It's one with God. That's why he says, if you ask anything in my name and it's in the will of God, he would give it. Well, because I'm having this communion with God. Oh, Lord, help me with this. Guide and direct me with this. And we know it's the Lord's will, right? Because we're having that continuous communion walking with the Lord. And we see him unfold these promises in our lives. Some of them unfold day by day, year by year. Things don't happen right away, right? When I got saved, it took a long time for me to set aside a lot of things that I did for most of my life, right? It took a while for me to understand it. It took a while for me to learn. It took a while for me to grow. And I think that's where a lot of new Christians fail. They see other people and say, well, I should be like them, and I'm not. How could God want me? Maybe this is not real. And that's why the Bible says, you older women, teach the younger women. You who are more mature, come alongside those and tell them, hey, we got to grow. Now, there's a Chinese bamboo tree. When it's planted, it doesn't sprout for 5 years. So think about that. This guy's out there every week planting. He's watering this bamboo plant and nothing's happening. Every day he's out there for 5 years. Could you imagine the people? It's kind of like Noah, right? It's going to rain. What's rain, right? Watering this plant, the plant's not growing. But at the fifth year, it sprouts. And in 5 weeks, it grows 90 feet. So it takes 5 years to come up, right? To sprout. And then in 5 weeks, it grows 90 feet. Now, did it take 5 weeks to grow 90 feet, or did it take 5 years and 5 weeks to grow 90 feet? It took the 5 years and 5 weeks to grow 90 feet. It doesn't happen right away. What's happening during that time of the 5 years? I don't know. I'm not in the ground, but we know it's right. It's starting to grow. It's starting to germination. It's starting to sprout. Thank you, brother. So things don't happen right away. And we don't learn these often enough, right? We live in the world, everything around us, you plant a tree, it takes time to grow, right? There's seed time and harvest time. Scripture speaks about that. Seed time and harvest time. Well, our life is that way as well. And so we need to trust in God, wait upon the Lord. As the Lord gives us those promises, they don't happen right away. They begin to unfold. Pastor Ron and I went through several years of, and plus, trying to put the radio station together, trying to get the antenna up. And every time we thought, oh, this is it, it wasn't it. Oh, boy, okay, what now? And that happened several times, right? But here's what we did know. It's God's radio station. And if he wants it on the air, he's going to have to make it happen. And that's exactly what he did. But it didn't happen in our timeline. It happened on his. Verse 8 through 13, so the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned to Abraham. The same day Isaac was weaned. Verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian woman who she had borne to Abraham. He was scoffing. And therefore she said to Abraham, cast out that bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be the heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of the son, his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of the bondswoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. And yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondswoman, because he is your seed. So trouble arises between, and Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. So trouble arises in the picture of the flesh and the spirit, the promised son of Isaac, right? So it's interesting, Ishmael's true nature comes out when Isaac is born. Wow. Think about that. Do you remember when you first got saved? Some of you got saved young. Some of you got saved later in life. Some of you got saved in the midst of chaos. All of us got saved at some point in time. But I certainly remember the day I got saved, the peace that I had to know that I know what I that I was saved, but I also remember the conflict and the challenges that follow. And here's a picture of that, the flesh warring against the spirit. Spiritual parallels, Ishmael, picture of the flesh, Isaac, picture of the spirit. That old nature is revealed once we're born again. See, we didn't realize that old nature that we had. That was the norm. How we acted, how we responded, how we spoke. Anger, violence, or whatever your case might have been. That was your norm. But then that newness comes in your life and things have changed. But all of a sudden that flesh will come out. Somebody cuts in front of you. What? You realize that that old nature still exists in the flesh. And there's that challenge. And here it's a picture of that old nature revealed once the spiritual element comes. Flesh wars against the spirit. How many can relate? Every one of us. Every one of us. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing it. What a wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body? And the answer is, thanks be to God. Jesus Christ, the Son, thanks to him, we have then been set free when we're born again from the power of sin. When we go to be with the Lord, we're going to be separated from the presence of sin. There'll be no more sin, suffering, sickness, addictions, you name it. They're gone. They're not in the heavenly place, and that's going to be great. So, Isaac was weaned, usually 2 or 3 year old toddler. They hold a feast in Isaac's honor. Imagine Ishmael's attitude. He's about 16 years old. Isaac is his younger brother. He's the favorite of the house. Isaac is a child of promise. He's looked up to. Isaac's party focused all the attention, and Ishmael is jealous and resentful. So he's scoffing. He's scoffing. In other words, ridiculing. Isaac's about 16, 17, or Ishmael is, and Isaac's around three years old. So a teen versus a toddler. Sarah calls to have Ishmael and Hagar put out. Get rid of them. And notice our acts of our flesh haunt us. The results of this sin is still with them. To this very day, there's a challenge as well. It's a picture of reaping and sowing, isn't it? Absolutely. So the point is, Isaac and Ishmael, flesh cannot co-heir with the spirit. And so he's got to go. Paul uses this to make an illustration in Galatians 4. Ishmael's a picture of the flesh, and he's governed by the flesh. Isaac is a picture of spiritual promise, and he's governed by the spirit. And governed by what? Do's and don'ts, the law? No, by grace. Galatians 4:30 and 31, the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. We are not children of bondswoman, but of the free. So in Galatians, Paul's calling one bondservant and the other free woman, picture of the spirit and a picture of sin, right? So the matter was very displeasing to Abraham. Imagine he's got to deal with this now, and Abraham is torn. And the reason, he allowed Ishmael into his heart. And the lesson is, don't harbor the flesh in your heart. There's a spiritual element to this. I mean, those of you who have come in the split families, maybe not so much in this room, but other people, intermarriage, they have kids and the other partner has kids. And then it becomes conflict between the two, the siblings and the families and such. But the spiritual element here is a picture of the flesh and a picture of the spirit. They cannot co-labor together. The flesh will continue to challenge and harass and scoff at the spiritual nature. Flesh will keep you from doing what is right. And so God commands Abraham to listen to Sarah. Now it's amazing how often we husbands quote Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands, right? We know that verse very well, Pastor Ron, don't we? But verse 22 is followed by verse 21 in Ephesians 21. And it says, submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. So the picture looks like this. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Listen to each other, receiving from one another. And so God is telling Abraham, listen to your wife. She has a legitimate concern that he didn't see. He felt bad, probably, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to hurt the lad, right? He allowed him in his heart, knowing that this was not from the Lord, this was from the flesh. And so Sarah was right. Women have this gift of discernment, and men need to listen. My wife wrote that in my notes. I'm just saying. Just kidding. You can laugh. Some of you are falling asleep already. God blesses Ishmael because he is your seed. Comes from Abraham. And it's interesting, Ishmael is blessed by virtue of Abraham. And it reveals God's love for Abraham. He was the father of faith. And he was very important to the Lord. And so the Lord sees his heart and understands, so Ishmael will be blessed. Verse 14 and 21, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. And then she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So they're dehydrated. She thinks the son's going to die. And so she puts him in the shade and she walks away. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So Abraham sends Ishmael and Hagar away, and he sends them with bread, and you know what the skins of the water are. They put that around there. It holds water. So it's not enough to go the distance. It's not enough to reach Egypt, and Abraham knew they needed help from God along the way, and they needed to learn to depend on the Lord, not on man, to depend on God. Here's a situation where they don't have enough, and now they find themselves in dire straits. But we see that the boy is crying out to the Lord. She lifted up her voice and wept and cries out to God. He was praying as well, because the Bible says that we just read that God heard the cries of the lad, right? And so God heard the voice of the lad, called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what's wrong? Just as Jesus asked centuries later to his disciples in Matthew 8, why are you fearful, you of little faith? You see, Jesus had already told the disciples that they were going to the other side, right? We talked about this. We just went through this. And Jesus had given them his word, we are going to the other side. In Genesis chapter 16, God told Hagar that Ishmael would be blessed. Do you remember that? This is why so often we have to be reminded, as even we go through the text, that God had told her in chapter 16 that he would be blessed. And here, in our text, God is reminding Hagar and you and I, didn't I give you the word? Didn't I tell you? Have you forgot? What word has God given you in your life today? What has God ministered to you today? Because we're all going through something. Something's happening in our life that we're asking the Lord, waiting for the Lord, searching the Lord for something. And when the question is, what has he told you? What has he said in his word? What are the promises that he has given us? And those are the things we need to look at. What word has God given us? Romans 8, all things will work together, work out together for the good of those who are in Christ, those who are called according to his purpose, right? Matthew 28, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 37:4, he will give us the desires of our heart as we search and seek him, right? 1 John 1:9, our sins are forgiven. Why are you remembering them? He's not remembering them anymore. He has already cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them no more. You have been forgiven. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Why are you listening to those voices of the sins of the past? Jeremiah 31:8, his love for us is everlasting. Everlasting. That means forever. And in the Greek, it means forever. God's love for you is everlasting. It's not limited. Like our love is limited. His is not. Remember you get in a car or something brand new. Oh, watch out. You park a mile away so somebody doesn't put a dent in your car, right? Oh, there's a little scuff mark there. Or you get a brand new pair of boots. When these boots were new, I was making sure I wasn't stepping on anything, right? I was like, look at them today. I could care less today, right? But what changed? Me or the boots? Both, right? I don't care anymore, and the boots got damaged. But what was so important to me at the time was, oh, these are so great. But I changed. Your feelings and emotions change. That's why we don't live, I told my sons this as they grew up, we don't live on feelings and emotions. We live by the word of God. His word never changes, but our feelings and emotions change. And so how we may feel about somebody may change. But how he feels about you never changes. Isn't that great? We win. We got it made. Romans 8:37, that we are more than conquerors. These are verses we need to remind ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean things are easy here. They're not. Sometimes they're very difficult, but God is good and heaven is real. And his promise is that he would never leave us. And so God answers her, I will make him a great nation. The promise to make a great nation of Ishmael. Josephus says Ishmael was the father of the Arab nations. So the Arabs that live today come from his seed. Their father was Abraham. So our lives, desperation, cry out to God. This is what he's doing here, crying out to the Lord. But I think the crying out to the Lord has to come, but we have to remember the promises as well, right? So he's out of water. They're dehydrated. She thinks he's going to die. She's crying out to God, and God answered her. God knew their needs, right? And so I got to move on. God is faithful to his word. The descendants of Ishmael become the Arabic people. 13 million Jews, 300 million Arabs. Have they been blessed? Was he blessed? Did he make him a nation? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Lord leads Hagar to a well. He saves both of their lives. And it tells us five things about Ishmael. Number one, God was with him. Who are the promised people? The Jews. The Jews. We weren't calculated in there. We were Gentiles, right? But yet God loves us. We have been grafted in. We have been adopted. There's a spiritual element. God was with him. God is with us. Number two, he grew up and lived in the wilderness. Fulfills Genesis 16, that he would be a wild man. We've talked about that in those chapters. Verse 3, he became an archer, fulfilled in Genesis 16:12. It says he would be a fighter, right? He said he'd be a wild man. He would be a fighter. He dwelt in Paran, the Arab nation. That's number four. Number five, he married an Egyptian woman. That's his mother's native land. And it's interesting, in Egypt, the first Arabs, 62 million of them. So God preserves Ishmael under the Arab people. And the reason? God is faithful to his word. Didn't God say? Didn't God say? The truth is, the Arabs owe existence to Jehovah God, and God will preserve Arabs until the millennial period, right? And so in Isaiah 60, in context, the millennial kingdom, the multitude of camels shall cover your land, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah, all those in Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you, and they shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glory the house of my glory. So Kedar in Genesis 25 were not there. There's the sons of Ishmael. Nebaioth in Genesis 25 are the sons of Ishmael. They're Arabs. And God's grace is extended to them in the millennial period. And there's a misconception. Aren't all Arabs Muslims? A Muslim is a religion, right? And the Arabs comprise about 15-18% of all Muslims. But 5-6% of Arab population is Christian. So that's about 15 or 14 million Arabs that are Christians. So the lesson is, don't write off anyone, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And God has made promises to you and to me, and he will fulfill them. He will one day usher us into the presence of our Heavenly Father. One day we will live with him forever. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, but I go there to prepare a place for you. Where is Jesus right now? Preparing a place for us, so that when I come back, I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you will be also. Do you remember these words? John chapter 14. Ephesians 1, verse 3, we have all the blessings in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Romans 5, we have peace with our Maker, access to his throne through Christ Jesus. And we stand in his grace. We have to remember these. We have to say them to remind ourselves that God is with us. Our Christian life is not just coming into the church and carrying a Bible. It's all day long, 24/7, the Spirit of God is with us, following him as he leads us to serve him in one capacity or another, whether it's prayer. Listen, if you watch television or you watch news, everybody needs to be prayed for, right? Every one of them. Murders, car accidents, conflict, disasters. Start praying. We have something to do. We're not just here so we go to heaven. We're here so that we can bring other people with us. He says to go and make disciples. Tell them everything that I taught you. Are you doing that? Now, I know we all have different platforms, but we can do something for the Lord as he guides and directs us. Amen? Verse 22 through 34. I think we're going to finish the chapter. Yep. And it came to pass at the time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this. You didn't tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs on the flock of themselves by themselves. And then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these seven ewe lambs from my hand, and they may be my witness that I have dug this well. And therefore he called the place Beersheba, because two of them swore an oath there. And thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And Abimelech rose with Phicol and the commander of his army, and they turned to the land of the Philistines. And then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and they called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. And so Abraham makes a covenant with Abimelech. Abraham becomes more increasingly powerful. Abimelech sees that God is with you in all that you do, and he wants to make peace with Abraham. Abimelech represents the future Philistines, and they settle on a peace treaty. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. And so here's an application of that as well. And it sets the scene for Genesis 26, and Isaac will be mistreated by Abimelech, and the covenant will be violated. But there's a spiritual truth. Lasting peace is impossible between God's people and the world. The Jews and the Philistines will war. They're at war today. Palestine, right? Lasting peace is impossible between the world and God's people. The worldly system is of Satan. You know that, right? You realize that. And his desire is to bring everyone down. God's desire for us is to be light in this dark world, to be salt in this tasteless world. And salt creates thirst for the living water, which is Christ. And we bring that about by speaking joy and peace into people's hearts, telling them the good news of the gospel. I think so often there are those who want to talk constantly about the fire and the brimstone, and yet the Bible said it is the peace of Christ, his love for us, that compels us to repentance. So tell the people about the good news of the Lord so that they may come to him and be saved. God has called you and I to save the world in his plan. Isn't that amazing? So we got a lot of work to do, don't you think? Father, thank you tonight for your word, and thank you for showing us your fulfilled promises through Abraham and Sarah. And Lord, we know that each and every day you fulfill promises in our lives. So often we forget them, we don't pay attention, or we don't even recognize them. Help us, Lord, to walk with you each and every day, each and every moment. Let us cultivate this relationship with you, that we may walk in that peace and power. that comes with the Holy Spirit. And that we may glorify you this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.